Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. That's where we're going to be this morning. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. We're going to talk about the salt life. Probably not what you're thinking. But yeah, we're going to talk about the salt life. Being salt of the earth. So let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, this morning that we can have fun and enjoy ourselves and be Christians and love Jesus. And Lord, thank you for the opportunity to live in America, to be here. We pray for our service this morning. We thank you for all the families here. Thank you for the ones that are home. We pray for the ones that are vacationing and traveling around, visiting family. We pray, Lord, you can keep them safe and let them go where they're going and get back home safely. We pray for all the ones on the back of our bulletin that they're sick and suffering and hurting and need guidance and direction and healing. Lord, we just join together in Jesus' name. We just lift up those that are on the back of our bulletin. Father, help me this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Everybody said amen? Amen. So Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. So here we go. You are the, this is Jesus, right? Obviously, Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? Okay. It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. And basically Jesus says, because it's lost its saltiness. It's really no good. Okay? So let's talk a little bit about salt this morning. Okay? Scientists tell us that salt has many different functions. So let's review at least five functions of salt and see how this may relate to what Jesus is teaching us in the Sermon on the Mount here. So if you're taking notes, we're going to go through these five functions of salt. All right, here's the first one. It seasons. Number two, it preserves. Number three, it heals. Number four, it creates thirst. Number five, it is valuable. It is valuable. So let's take a short look at each one of these functions and see what the Word of God tells us. Everybody ready? So number one, salt seasons. Yes, we know that salt adds flavor to life. As we're going through this, think about this huge, big, giant metaphor that Jesus has given us about ourselves and us, because he called us salt. Okay, salt of the earth. We know that salt seasons flavor. Okay, it enhances flavor. Does anyone like salt on your watermelon? Raise your hand. Anybody like salt on grapefruit? Raise your hand. Dang, you guys are sick like me. Do you like salt on your green plums? Larry. I love green plums. And wild green plums, they always come out around Mother's Day. I think I mentioned it to some guys Wednesday night or something. And so here, it's a tradition I've had for years and years, since I was a little kid, really. You know, whatever, 5, 6, 7, ride a bicycle down a dirt road looking for wild plums on the dirt roads. And so if you have any plum trees in your backyard, please feel sorry for me and donate some plums. They're rare these days. People just don't do that kind of stuff anymore, right? But I did find some last week, and I have a secret place, I tell you, but I don't know. It's a selfish thing, especially Larry. I'll tell you later when Larry leaves. But I found a big Tupperware bowl, about that full, and I eat them all in one setting, didn't I, with some salt. And it never messes my stomach up. Oh, never mind. But y'all know what I mean, right? It doesn't get to me. It really doesn't. And I love it. Right now I'm craving it, you know, salt on the greenish yellow plums. Good stuff, right? So Christians in the world should give a life of flavor. Our life should speak of flavor in the world. we should show others that there is an abundant life being a Christian. Okay, abundant life. We ought to make Christianity attractive and desirable. Amen? This abundant life that talks about in John 10:10, it says, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Now that word abundantly, if you look it up, it does talk about money. And I'm not going to get up, I'm not a prosperity preacher, but it does talk about money and finances and those kind of things. God does want to meet our needs. He wants us to be able to pay our bills and have decent credit, right? He wants us to be able to have those things that finances give us. So he wants us to be able to have a financial abundance, to be able to have a little bit left over at the end of the month so that you can help someone in need, that you can help spread the gospel. But I really think more here is talking about the abundance of those things, like having an abundance of mercy, having an abundance of grace, having an abundance of patience and kindness, and all those fruits of the Spirit. That's really what I think it's talking about. Like, you're able to, as a Christian, as we walk with the Lord, we're able to give people more grace and mercy and patience and those kind of things. That's the abundant life that I really think it's talking about. As Christians, our lives on this earth will never be perfect, right? It'll never be perfect. But the world should be looking at us and saying things like this. This is what the world should be saying. They should be saying, I wish I had a marriage like theirs. Did you see how they handled that problem? Man, that would have stressed me out to the max. The young people at that church are always doing something fun and going on adventurous trips. That's what they're saying. You know, people will say, you know, their family seems so happy. Let me tell you a story. This happened, 4 or 5 years ago. I had this little client at Penfield, and he done well, and he got promoted to a leadership, and then we took him on as an intern. And I remember he come from an affluent family. You know, they had money. His dad had this big business, and he, at Thanksgiving, remember Frank? His little name was Frank. And you don't know who Frank is, so Frank, if you're listening, I'm not violating your confidentiality. Sorry, just playing. But Frank, I invited him to our Thanksgiving family dinner because his family was too busy, just couldn't work it out for him. So I invited him to our thing. We had it at my brother's pizza restaurant in Hayhira. We all got up in that little restaurant and had Thanksgiving dinner. Well, I invited Frank. He was like, he's a little guy. I'm losing track. Anyway, we invited Frank over. And we all had these big long tables, and we were doing our Thanksgiving meal, and we were having fun, laughing and joking. And later on, a couple weeks later, Frank came to me in my office, and he said, you know what? Thank you so much for inviting me to your Thanksgiving dinner with your family. He said, that's the first time I've ever had like a real family Thanksgiving dinner. He said, and I saw you guys laughing and cutting up with each other and joking with each other. He said, man, that's what I want in my life. Right? I mean, I didn't know that. I was just trying to be nice to the kid because he didn't have anywhere to go at Thanksgiving. It made a huge difference in his life. And he got married about 2 years ago. He's long gone, got a job and doing well. He got married, have a little baby. And he called me not long ago. He says, I'm on my way, Mr. Dallas. He said, I'm going to have me a good Thanksgiving dinner like you guys had. He said, I'm going to build me a family, and I'm going to have Thanksgiving. Wasn't that sweet? Really, God just used me in spite of my dumbness, you know. But you never know how you can make an impact in people's lives when you're salty. Amen. We can be a Christian and still have fun and enjoy life. Everybody hear me? I'm going to say that again. I think I don't need to say this to this crowd, but who knows who's listening, you know, on the internet. You can be a Christian. You can love Jesus. Be saved, born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, and you can still have fun and enjoy this life on earth. I've seen this so many times in my career. One of the biggest tricks of the devil is he will tell an unbeliever that if you go and get saved and start going to church, you're not going to be able to have no fun anymore. Y'all know. I'm telling you the truth. That's one of the biggest tricks of the devil. It's a lie. It's a lie. Now, if that's true, if that's the picture that we're painting for them, then shame on us. Really. Shame on me. Shame on us. Maybe that's Jesus telling us that we've lost our saltiness. Amen? Number two. Oh, Jesus, I'm not going to get through this early. Number two, salt preserves. So yes, salt is a preservative. It's used to keep things from rotting. It's used to keep things, slow down things, slow down that process of decay. And really, that's what's going on with the Holy Spirit living in us. Like, as long as we're here as believers, we're some sort of like moral standard, this moral influence in the world right now. Hopefully, we're being that salt in the earth that's really preventing the earth from turning to complete, total wickedness and evilness. And when the rapture happens, and all these millions and millions of salty Christians, leave in the rapture, and the earth will be left with sourness and bitterness and craziness. It's going to be a wild, wild west, as they say, right? It's going to be interesting. The Holy Spirit, I believe, really is waiting on the Father. He's waiting on the Father to look at Jesus and say, "Go get my children." When that saltiness leaves, it's going to be a mess. So right now we're preserving things. Number three, salt heals. Salt heals. Through the witness of God's people, Jesus Christ wants to draw people. He wants us to draw the brokenhearted, to draw those hurting people to Himself through us. You don't need me to sit up here and tell you that this world, there's hurting people. There's hurting people right here in our church fellowship. There's hurting people all over the world. Our lives are to have a healing effect. We need to be salty. Our lives need to be a healing effect on those around us. John 13:35. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. You see, God can use our past. Everybody listen. God could use our past experiences, our past struggles, our past hurts to help other people. He does it all the time. Last week we talked about how Jesus came to, what? Heal the brokenhearted. He came to set the captives free and release the oppressed. Jesus uses us to minister to others, to share His love with others. That's why we're called ministers of reconciliation. Each one of you are ministers, not just me. You are a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why the Bible clearly says we are all ministers of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 1:3-4. Write that down. Look it up later. 2 Corinthians 1:3-4. I'm going to read it. And please listen. Listen to this scripture here. It says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that, everybody with me? So that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God." This is clear biblical instruction right here, that if we seek God during our troubles, He will comfort us. He will do all those things, guide us, comfort us, give us instruction, all those things, so that we can turn right around and comfort others and help others and guide others. It's a beautiful thing. Number four. Salt creates thirst. Salt creates thirst. Our lives are to be such that as we interact with others, as we interact with the people that's within our circles, a thirst is created. A thirst is created within them for the water that springs up within us, that everlasting water, that eternal water. Jesus told the woman at the well this, John 4:13-14. Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." These people will become thirsty if we are, in fact, the salt of the earth as Christ has called us to be. Our lives will create within those around us a thirst. Here's what it'll look like, guys. Y'all ready? This is exciting now. Here it is. Thirsty people will ask questions like this. This is what thirsty people will ask us. They'll say, "Hey, where do you go to church?" They'll say, "How come you're not worried about our company going out of business or closing? How did you raise such well-mannered children? Does the Bible teach anything about how to deal with money problems? How did you quit smoking? How did you quit drinking? Why do you seem so happy all the time? What's your secret?" Again, I know we all have problems. We all have situations. We all get down. We all get angry. We all get anxious. I understand that. But as a Christian, as being the salt of the earth, you see, a salty Christian walking in the Spirit will cause unbelievers to get thirsty. And they will start asking you questions. 2 Peter 3:15 says this. 2 Peter 3:15. It says, "If someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it." We have to be ready. Number five, last one. Salt is valuable. Salt is valuable. Salt is one of the most important chemical elements known to man. Salt is something that all humans and all animals need to live, to function, survive, and thrive. When Jesus used this term, the people that was listening to him, they knew exactly what he meant. Jesus is saying that as his people, please listen to this. As his people in this world, we are of great value. You have great value. We are those who have been entrusted with the living word of Almighty God. We are those who are vessels of His Holy Spirit. You are valuable. You are very valuable to God. We are extremely valuable, not only within the kingdom of God, but within this world. People need you. They need what you have. They're in desperate search for what you have. They are. Let's think about Meredith this morning when we were talking. I got her attention. I had your attention, but I was just joking. But she talked about how she maybe would like to be a teacher one day. And instantly, I thought about my message and how awesome that's going to be if that's God's will for her life and she goes that direction, and how valuable she is right now, but in the future, place in that mission field called the school system, right, and be able to have an influence for 20, 30 years. What kind of ministry she's going to have. How valuable that is, not only in the kingdom of God, but in the world. Amen? I mean, I can look around here and look at all of what you guys do. Most of you, I know what you do for a living and what you do in the world, and that's so valuable. But more than all that, you're God's daughter. You're God's son. And you're valuable. We are His children. We are the salt of the earth. And yes, yes, Jesus Christ says we are the salt of the earth, but, everybody say but. But salt does no good unless it gets out of the salt shaker. It's pretty common sense, right? God wants us to get out around lost people of the world so that we can help people. So that we can help people find Jesus. Not that He's lost, but we can spread the good news of what we talked about last week. We can share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people. Hopefully they will, at that time, taste the saltiness and see that the Lord is good. And we all know that He is a good, good Father. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your word. It is encouraging, motivating. It gives us strength and power. It's everything we need. Your living word, Lord, it becomes rhema and gets inside of us and changes us. Lord, if there's anyone here today that's never accepted Christ, I just pray, Lord, that they just would say within their heart, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and I ask You to come in my heart and save me. I turn from my wicked ways, and I repent of my sins, and from this day forward, I will live for You. In Jesus' name, amen.